Okay, B'shem Hashem, this is the second section of the Halachot of Kashering. So we covered, in the last session, we covered refrigerators and freezers. We covered the stovetops and oven. And we spoke about sink and countertops. One thing that I did not speak about sink and countertops and the oven was the fact whether you have to let it sit overnight or not. The beginning of last shiur, we said that when it comes to kashering, you have to keep a halachic element in mind, that there are situations that before you kasher something, you have to let it sit overnight. For example, if you have a fork, a fleshic fork, that you mix macaroni and cheese with, hot macaroni and cheese, now that fleshic fork is treif, that fleshic fork, before you kasher it, you have to let it sit 24 hours. Now, does that halacha apply to Pesach also or not? This is what I wanted to mention to you. Now, when you kasher your stovetop, or your oven, as we said last time, the way you kasher it, you do not have to let it sit 24 hours. You're allowed to kasher it right away. Because the way you kasher the oven, whether you kasher it by self-cleaning or by let it burn for an hour after you clean it, obviously. You let it be on for an hour on the highest temperature, that would take care of it even without letting it sit 24 hours. So ovens and stoves do not have to sit, wait 24 hours before you kasher. Sinks and countertops, halachically for Sephardim, also do not have to wait 24 hours after the last time that chametz was used. Again, these 24 hours that we're talking about for Pesach is after chametz was used hot. In other words, if you strained hot spaghetti in your sink, then you could discuss whether it has to stay 24 hours or not. Not that if you use your sink for any purpose, that this would be a problem. So, to make it clear, according to the way our Avad Yosef learns, and for Sephardim, when you want to kasher your sink or countertops, you do not have to wait 24 hours after the last time chametz was used hot on those surfaces. However, it is better lechatechila to do that. So therefore, lechatechila, if you want to kasher your countertops by either pouring hot water on it or by using the steamer, as we said yesterday, lechatechila, it is better to make sure that chametz was not used on it, hot chametz was not used on it for past 24 hours. Usually it doesn't. The only situation that it could happen is the example that I gave you, same thing with your sink, that when you want to kasher your sink, it's better to make sure that the past 24 hours, hot spaghetti was not strained in that sink. If you strained rice in that sink, no problem. If you used that sink to put anything, wash any cold chametz in there, no problem. If you wash chametz dishes in that sink, actual chametz dishes, and you did not use boiling hot water over them, no problem. Then for sure, according to everybody, it's not a problem. But even if you used the sink to strain hot spaghetti within the 24 hours before the time of kashering, you could still go ahead and kasher it. Ashkenazim are machmir on that. Sephardim are halachically mekel on that. But lechatechila, it's better to avoid it. Lechatechila is better when you want to kasher something for Pesach, that it should not have been used with hot chametz past 24 hours. It's a good thing to do. So if you have time that you could wait 24 hours before kashering, if it was used with hot chametz, if you have time, wait. If you really don't have time and you have to kasher and get your cooking and stuff, no problem. You could go ahead and get kasher it and get your cooking. That is what was left over from last time's shiur regarding sink and the countertops. Okay, dishwashers. Dishwashers could be kashered for Pesach, but there is one major problem with dishwasher. Major problem is, as we mentioned last time in the shiur, that anything you want to kasher, you first have to clean, make sure no chametz or anything is attached to it. To clean dishwashers from chametz is very difficult. Dishwasher has a lot of different areas that chametz could get caught. Because the way this washing system works and everything gets splashed around all over the dishwasher, particles of chametz get caught in different corners by the gaskets. There's a gasket around the door, the plastic thing that goes around the door, that many times chametz get caught in there. By the hinges of the door, chametz get caught. In the filter area, right by the drain, inside the dishwasher, chametz get caught in there. It's very difficult to clean that chametz. Yeah, yeah, that means you have to take out the filter and really clean it out. By the disposer, food disposer, in the right in the center, in the bottom center of the dishwasher. Also, in the basket where you put utensils, forks and knives and stuff, chametz particles will get caught into the holes of the basket. So those are very hard to clean. If you want to spend time and clean all those things out and do a very good job cleaning your dishwasher, after you clean it like that, you let your dishwasher run one cycle, preferably with soap, empty dishwasher, with soap, let it run one cycle on hot water, that would clean it further and also kasher it, and then your dishwasher is kasher lePesach. So again, dishwasher could be kasher for Sephardim, but the cleaning of it is not so simple. The toasters, the only way you could kasher toasters is by when the chametz burning takes place and you have such a big fire going on, you put your toaster into that big fire and let it become nice red hot. This way your toaster would definitely become kosher to Pesach, but you won't be able to use it anymore. So therefore the best thing you could do with your toaster is to clean it, vacuum the inside to make sure all the breadcrumbs should be cleaned out. After you vacuum the inside, you turn on the toaster on the high temperature for like a few minutes. This way any other chametz that's left in there would get burned and become charcoal. Then you pack it up and put it away with your chametz dishes for after Pesach. You cannot kasher your toaster for Pesach. But you should clean it, as I said, and make sure there's no chametz in there. Then wrap it up and put it away with your chametz dishes. Microwave oven. It's preferable that it should not be kasher for Pesach, but if it's needed, it could be kasher for Pesach. Microwave also has this problem of cleaning, because when you put food in the microwave and you heat it up, food particles fly all over. So inside of the microwave is very difficult to clean, because it's usually plastic. You cannot bring it into your sink and start washing it, pouring water all over it. It's going to ruin the microwave. So it's very difficult to really do a good job cleaning it. They have microwave cleaners stuff in the department stores. If you could do a good job cleaning your microwave, then koshering it, it is possible to kosher it. Two different approaches. If the microwave was never used for cooking food, it was only primarily used to heat up food. That means every time you turn it on, it's on for like 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes at a time. Not long stretches like 15-20 minutes. In that situation, you really don't have to do anything to the microwave. The microwave is kosher. Right? All you have to do is clean it. And provided that on Pesach, also you're not going to really bring any food to cook. You just want to use it for warming up. All you have to do to the microwave in that situation is to clean it. The turning table in the bottom of the microwave has to be koshered. If it's glass does not need to be koshered. Glass all that it needs is that it should be clean, washed well, making sure no chametz is stuck to it. If the turning table inside is not glass, then it has to be koshered. It has to be cleaned, and you need to pour hot water on it to kosher it, that turntable. And otherwise, you could put, if the microwave does not have a turning table, it just has a base, you should not put food directly on Pesach on that bottom, because generally food spills over and makes that bottom trave. So that bottom has to be kashered, preferably by pouring hot water on it, if possible. The way you do it is, you put a bowl of water inside the microwave and let it come to boil. The water would spill over the bowl, and it would kasher the bottom part of the microwave. Or you could put like a styrofoam plate or something in the bottom and put your Pesach stuff in that styrofoam plate and not put it directly on the bottom of the microwave. That is if the microwave is not being used to cook food. If the microwave is only being used to heat up food, therefore the walls of the microwave did not really become chametz. The only way that became chametz probably food particles that splashed, which in your situation would be fine anyway. You could as I said, clean it well and kosher the bottom of it, the turntable or the bottom surface. If the microwave was used to cook food in it, that means the walls generally became hot because you use the microwave for like 15, 20 minutes at a time, then the way to kosher that microwave is by putting a bowl of water, preferably with soap, inside the microwave and let that come to boil. That means you really have to put it for like 10-15 minutes for the water to really come to boil, and steam will fill up inside the microwave. In that situation, that would kosher the microwave. Again, microwave cleaning it is difficult. So if you could clean it, then you're able to go ahead and kosher it. Even though I mentioned that for a microwave that is used for heating up, you don't really have to do this process of koshering, the poskim say that it's better to do the koshering anyway. That means even if you use your microwave for heating up, it's still better that after you clean it, you put a bowl of water in there, preferably with soap, and let it come to boil such that the steam would get all over the walls of the microwave. For like 10-15 minutes, the water boil and fill up the steam. That situation, then according to everybody, you'll be fine with this microwave. So again, cleaning it is something that you really have to keep in mind. I've asked over different years whether you kosher water urn or how you kosher it. Water urn, there are two types. The water urn that the surface does not get hot. They are like the pump, the ones that have a pump on top, and it's more decorative. The outside wall has an insulation and it does not get hot. Such a water urn could be koshered for Pesach by just washing it out. All you have to do is to do a nice, good cleaning job on it, especially by the pump, because sometimes people might have hummus hands, or they're eating cookies or cakes and coffees and this and that, and they keep pumping the pump, and crumbs will get into the crack of the pump. If you wash the cap, the pump area, well, that there is no hummus stuck on it, and you wash the whole urn clean, that there is no hummus stuck on it, it doesn't need to be kosher because it never became treif. The urns that the surface really gets very hot, because it's only one layer of metal and it gets hot, and sometimes people use that urn to warm challah up on Shabbat, they will put their challah on it. Such an urn, if you want to kosher it, so then you need to kosher it. The way you would kosher it is, the way I would recommend, is that you fill it up with water, let it come to boil. After it came to boil, while it's still boiling, unplug it. And while it's still boiling, you know, usually the urns, the way they work is that first they bring the water to boil, and then the boiling stops and they keep the temperature hot. That means the elements that heat up the water, first they go on a high degree till the water comes to boil, And then it shuts down the main element and it keeps one low element on to keep the water hot. Why the water is boiling? You have to be alert. If the water is boiling like that, really to the top, all you have to do is unplug it so there would not be any fire hazard, and use a spoon to make waves in it so the water would spill over the walls. Because since the water is all the way to the top, right, by putting some, using some spoon to make waves all over, the water would spill over the top and it would capture the sides of it all the way down. So even if some chametz got stuck on it or something over time, this would capture it from all over. And then the cap, the top, you could dip it into the hot water in a pot or something, in a separate pot. After you wash the cap, you could dip it, capture it inside a pot of hot water. This way your urn become kosher. You also need to, if after you do that, pour some hot water on the spout of the urn, because just in case that was hot or some hummus stuff spilled on it, you pour some hot water on the spout, and that will kosher it. Again, before you do that, you need to clean it to make sure there's no hummus stuck on it. Another thing that I would like to mention regarding the appliances that you have in the kitchen is the vent that sits, or the hood that sits over the stove. The hood, it depends how the stove is and how high the hood is. The hood generally catches a lot of steam as the food goes on, and especially on Fridays and stuff, the hood gets hot. And halachically, that could pose a problem in certain circumstances. What is recommended to do for the hood is that it should be covered with aluminum foil from the bottom. That means you cut a big sheet of aluminum foil and you just close off or cover the hood from the bottom. This way the hood is completely covered by aluminum foil, because there's no way to clean it, or you could clean it, but there's no really a good way to kosher it. So you cover the hood. So that basically covers all the different appliances that you have in the kitchen. The mixer, the mill, or the dough mixer has to be well cleaned, because chametz is stuck on it. It has to be well cleaned and then put away with the milchik dishes. A blender could be koshered for Sephardim, but I have to tell you something about the blenders together with other things. So before I get to the blender, let me talk to you about some dishes, and then I explain the blender. Baruch Hashem, we live in the generation that everybody could afford having Pesach dishes. So it's better to have Pesach dishes and avoid having to kosher weekday dishes for Pesach. If people, for whatever reason, they need to kosher anything for Pesach, the way you would kosher is following the rules that we mentioned before. Rule number one was that before you kosher anything, it has to be cleaned well. Rule number two is, however something is generally used, that is the way you kosher it. So if it is a pot that goes on the stove, it should be koshered inside a pot that goes on the stove, which means you bring a bigger pot and put water in it, bring it to boil, and you dip this pot inside that pot to be kosher. If the pot is too big to dip it into another pot, the way you kosher it is the way I mentioned to you regarding the urn. You fill up the water, you fill up the pot to the top, and you bring it to boil. And when it starts to boil, you use a spoon to create waves. And this way the water would spill over the edges a little bit. This way all the edges are also covered, and that would kosher the pot. Right. So this is for the pots that go on the fire. The stuff that gets dipped into the pot on the fire, like mixing spoons, ladles and stuff, also they have to be dipped into the hot water pot that's on the fire. That's how you kosher it. Forks and spoons that are generally used at the table, not over the stove, they don't have to be dipped into the pot. All you have to do is pour hot water on it, and that would be good enough. Or probably even less, dip it into a kelisheni, which is probably easier to just pour hot water on it. Probably the easiest thing to do is to just drop it into a hot pot on the water, on the fire. You put a pot on the fire with water, let it come to boil, and then drop your forks and knives and spoons that you want to be kashered, one after another. As the water is boiling, you throw one after another. When you're done, you dump the water out, and you rinse off the stuff. Everything is kosher. The pot that you use to kosher stuff does not have to be Pesach Dikeh pot. You could kosher your utensils for Pesach in a Chametz Dikeh pot. Halachically, that is allowed. In Iran, the minhag was they didn't do that. They used a Pesach Dikeh pot, or they koshered the pot first, and then they dipped all the stuff in it to kosher. And the Ashkenazim do that. That's the minhag of Ashkenazim. In Iran, I remember as a kid, they used to do that. They used to kosher the pot first, then they do Haggadah, and then again kosher the pot one more time. These are all Chumras. If a person can do that, kol hakavod. But if you don't have to, time to do that, you don't have to do that. If your water is 60 times the amount of the stuff that you dip in, then the kuli alma Ashkenazi and Sephardi, you don't have to kasher the pot afterwards. So the easiest thing probably for you to do is to get a Pesach Dikeh pot, a bigger pot, and pour water in it, and bring the water to boil, and then the forks and knives and spoons that you want to kosher, you throw in one after you clean them. You throw in one at a time, and you don't have to worry about anything. The spoons are kosher. The pot remains kosher because the pot has water 60 times as much as each fork or spoon that goes in. So therefore, you have nothing to worry about regarding that. This is how you kosher your forks and spoons. Dishes, the china dishes, is better not to be used for Pesach if they're used for Chametz, porcelain and china. The glass dishes or glass cups could be used for Pesach. All you have to do is to wash it well with water and soap, warm water, hot water and soap, to make sure that they're clean. They could be used. Plastic dishes and metal dishes, as we said before, should be koshered accordingly. Either dip it into hot water or pour hot water on it. Depends how, in majority, it's used. Plastic dishes, the plastic that is kosherable, plastic that, let's say, you pour, the containers, bowls that you pour food into it directly from the pot, the way to kosher it is by pouring hot water on them. The problem with plastic is it doesn't get clean. As much as you try to clean it, especially if it gets greasy, it's very, very difficult for it to become clean. So therefore, it's advisable that the plastic stuff not be koshered. Not because you can't kosher it, but because it's very difficult to clean it. The same thing applies for mixers, blenders, food processors. All these things, if they have been used with chametz, it will be very difficult to get it completely clean enough that you comfortably could go ahead and kosher it. So when it comes to plastic stuff, it's better that a person should get Pesach dishes and Pesach food processor, Pesach mixers and blenders. But if they really need to kosher it, they could. They just have to clean it very well. And then the way to kosher it is by pouring hot water on them or in them, if it was ever used with hot, or if it was used with chametz and onions, blended chametz and onions together. That situation, the best thing to do is to pour hot water on it and on the blade, and make sure that the container, everything is clean. So Again, when it comes to plastic stuff, one needs to be very careful. Teflon has the same problem. Teflon could, there are situations that it could be kosher, there are situations that it can, depends how it's used. But the problem is Teflon does not become completely clean. It's always that greasy feeling that it might have, and you can never tell that greasy stuff is anything that maybe a remnants of chametz that you used in there. So therefore, the Teflon pots and pans are better not be used for Pesach. You put it away and you get Teflon, new Teflon for Pesach. The Kiddush cups, as we mentioned at the beginning of last year, do not need to be kosher. They just have to be cleaned, preferably polished, because to make it shiny for Pesach, it's a good idea, but it should be, all it has to be, it has to be washed and well cleaned. If you have corkscrew, that it's a weekday corkscrew that you want to use for Pesach, all you have to do is just clean it, make sure no chametz stuck on it. These things don't need to be kosher. Peelers, the same thing. Anything that never came in contact with hot stuff, or generally doesn't come in contact with hot stuff, all you have to do is you scrub it, make sure no chametz is attached to it, and that would make it kosher for Pesach. Then this would conclude the koshering process. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to address it.
By saying generally get in contact, things that don't generally get in contact with hot, what does that mean? Meaning, if I know for sure that I use this once or twice for hot, like whatever metal utensil, that still just needs cold water to be kosher?
Yeah, if it's normally not used with hot water, you go after the majority of use. Whatever the majority of use is, that is what's considered the way to kosher it. So if the majority of use of your forks and spoons is that you use it with stuff that comes on your plate, that's kedushini. Even though sometimes you might poke it into a piece of meat that's on the grill, right? But that's not normally the way it's done. So since the majority of use is kelishani, kashering it is through kelishani. Ashkenazim are machmir during Pesach, and they use for everything, they use kelishon. They put everything into the pot, hot pot that's on the fire.
And then with regards to barbecues,
kashering a barbecue grill is very, also very difficult. You cannot really kasher it. The only way you could kasher a barbecue grill is by getting new grates for the grill. They sell it in Home Depot and Lowe's and other places, new grates that you could get, and then you have to cover the sides of the grill, the inner sides of the grill, with aluminum foil, and you should not use the hood, because the only way to kasher the hood is by pouring hot water on it or dipping it. Such a big hood, you can't do that. And it's really, you can't even cover it with aluminum foil. It's so big and so bulky, it's not so simple. So the best thing is not to use the hood and cover the inside of the grill with aluminum foil and use new grates for the grill. That is if your grill has come in contact with chametz, which is if you put buns on the grill or you added flour, some people do breadcrumbs into the hamburgers before you put it on the grill. So therefore, it needs to be koshered, and that's the only way to kosher it. If there is no way to, if you are very, very careful that no chametz would come near your barbecue grill, no buns and no breadcrumbs and nothing that is chametz at all, and no hot dogs that are chametz, so then you don't have to kosher it. It's kosher.
Putting the grates in the oven, that wouldn't clean it?
That would not clean it, because here the food comes in contact with it directly. If you remember, we said that even the grates of the oven, after you kosher them, you should not put matzah or food on it directly. So here the food goes on it directly. The only way to kosher the grates is by blowtorching it, which I don't think you want to do that. You don't want to mess with it, and who knows, you might even get it destroyed, get it messed up. So the best thing to do is to get new grates. They're not too expensive.
And then why do I have to clean the toaster and then make it with the charcoal?
Because even though you're selling, you don't want to, you know, and according to all the poskim, even the stuff that you sell, it's better that it should be cleaned, and you don't have to sell all those dust and little pieces and crumbs of bread. Even, well, if you have kazait of crumbs inside your toaster, it's not bad.
Do a quick cleaning.
Good. The quick cleaning, you know, you cannot tell ladies do quick cleaning. Ladies like to do a good job, and they could do it happily, right? So when it comes, you know, it's more important to clean your toaster than wash your ceilings.
And then covering the hood or the vent of the stove and on top the suction vent. If first thing is a new filter, would that be good?
Filter might help, but filter does not necessarily help for all the steam that is on, because what happens if they forget to turn on the filter during the cooking, and the steam of all the pots that's going up and hitting the hood, and the hood has already become chametz from previous use of all the macaronis that they boiled, then you're going to get into problems. That's why it's better to cover it even if you're going to use a new filter.
So there's no way to clean it because it had all the steam in it?
That's right. It has the zeal of all these pots that go on it. The hood is the typical case of a zeah that the Ramah talks about in Shulchan Aruch.
So just cover the whole thing and then...
Yeah, cover the bottom of the whole thing, and that would take care of the whole chametz issue of the hood.
And then all these processes would also make something treif kosher also, right?
Yes, everything that we said would make treif also kosher. One thing that I should point out again, when it comes to koshering your pots, if you want to kosher pots or utensils and stuff, again, you could kosher them without having to wait 24 hours after last time they were used in chametz. It's better to wait, but if you didn't, it's okay. Let's say there is a pot that you wanted to kosher for Pesach, and you meant to kosher it today, and 3 hours ago your kids came and boiled spaghetti in it, not knowing that you're going to kosher it, and now you're all upset because you need this pot, and you can't wait overnight tonight for tomorrow to kosher tomorrow. You need it to be kosher today. You could go ahead after you wash it well and all that. You could go ahead and kosher it today. Lechatechila, it's better, if possible, to wait overnight. But if you don't have to.
Milchik and
fleishik. If you're doing from milchik to fleishik, or from fleishik to milchik, also you don't have to wait 24 hours. But if it has become treif, actual treif, a fleishik spoon that got stuck into milchik, milchik spoon got stuck to fleishik and became treif, and then you should wait 24 hours before you kosher it.
Knives that have like sharp edges, those can be kosher?
Okay, the knives that have sharp edges, as long as you could clean those edges and the grooves, it could be kosher. Also, you have to be able to clean around the handle. Especially if it has a wood handle, you have to kosher it well. Clean it well around the wood handle to make sure there is no chametz stuck on it. But then, yes, to kosher it the way you kosher it, however it's used, you would kosher it after you clean it. The cutting board, especially if the cutting board is wood and it has become chametz, it's better that it should not be kosher, because there's a lot of grooves and things would get stuck into it. Otherwise, or if it's plastic, same situation. If it doesn't have all the grooves, if it's a glass cutting board or whatever, you could kosher it. The truth is, glass does not even need to be koshered. All you have to do is to wash it well, soapy water to make sure it's clean. It could be used as cutting board. Okay?
What did the aluminum have?
Aluminum is metal. Aluminum foil, aluminum pans could be koshered if they're treif. The problem with aluminum pans is that since it has a lot of folds, food could get caught in them, and it's very difficult to clean them. Again, if you could really clean them, you could kosher them like a metal pot, dip it into hot water, and it will become clean. It will become koshered.